And I think I told you last week that was what we were talking about, the 26th chapter of Isaiah, that it was speaking of the millennial reign, and that's going to be an earthly reign of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a time when he's going to be done away with all that was wicked and all that was evil. And it's going to be a time of peace and long-lasting joy for the people of the earth, because he has wrought his judgments in the earth. And he's been cut off the wicked and the evil in the earth. But during the run-up to that time, there's a purging of the earth that I've been talking about throughout our dealings here. In this 26th chapter, we did the first four or five verses, and that they shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And I went on to talk about trusting in the Lord and those that trust in God. Well, this righteous salvation, these gates that were open, the security of the salvation that those gates hold or whatever, is from the Lord. Those are walls that the Lord has risen up. And the peace and the joy that the people are enjoying at that time is because the Lord had fought for them and they had seen his judgments in the earth. As we continue to read, it says, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. And that is all of Babylon. That is all the ones of the earth that are arrogant, and the people of the wicked are those. And it's a lot of them are the apostate church, those that, as I told you, we're looking at this in latter-day terms. Those that know God are those that are within the church but still do wickedly. As it continues to read, it says, he layeth low, he layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall thread down even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright doest weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thine judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. In the way of thine judgments, I don't need to read this maybe in the Living to give you a little bit more clear definition. I don't know how many of y'all have studied this chapter. But it says, the desire of our soul is to thy name and the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of the upright will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. The Lord, when thine hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, and has done as it had wrought of our works in us. So, during the time, and God's consistently working all the time, God is condemning of bringing his works of wrath, of judgment upon the wicked. And as he brings it upon the wicked, time is continually going on. And we have to learn what we're supposed to be doing during that time, because a lot of us are ignorant, are not walking in God's way, or doing what we say, doing what he says to do. We're not growing in the Lord. We're not growing in the Lord. And people are causing us to stay stagnant and not accomplish our purpose in the Lord. And there's a time to throw away. There's a time to gather. There's different times of life. But sometimes we hold on to things too long. You know, a lot of times there's pictures we have in storage and awards we won as children and different little knickknacks our people have won. They become tied to us. There's a program some people watch called The Hoarders, in which people don't throw away anything. Everything that they get, they hold it and they hold it. You don't have room to move around or whatever for holding these things. I remember a few years back, I was telling my wife, I said, well, that stuff is up in the attic somewhere or whatever. I put it over there or whatever. You want to hold on to it, but she wants this or that there. But I said, well, no, I'll make a way for you to get up there or not. You may have to pay somebody to bring it down or whatever, but a lot of times we going through old memories or siphoning through old stuff that we never look at. It's pictures. I'm sure a lot of people have stuff that they hadn't seen in years. They have it in storages, and they build storages and everything. And my sister was the same way. She have house full, two or three different houses full of stuff, but all of the stuff is her good stuff. Somebody, a thief or somebody, could come in and take half the stuff, and she won't even know it's gone because you've accumulated so much, and you don't see the stuff all the time or whatever. You don't know how to throw it away. It's the same in our spiritual life. There's too much baggage. There's too many things holding us back or holding us in this world, and it becomes like those physical things to us, they acquire sentimental value. You look at it and you say, oh, this is when he did. You know, it attaches yourself in a way of sentimentality. Paul was talking about this, about a lot of us spiritually. It says, laying aside the weights and sins. I turned that heater on and knocked the top off there. If I didn't make it too hot too quick, you could turn it down some or whatever. I would just, and you do have the windows open where we have that cross air going across. Make sure it's open. But if, as long as we have that cross circuit of air, we have to learn to let go. And that's a hard thing for a lot of us. And so as God making judgments, as his decisions go out the earth, some of the things that we holding on to are engendering to. Have we talked to God about it? Or have we read or studied the Word of God to learn that that may have been a building block or something in your life at one time, but sometime you have to loose the cords of the ties that bind? Your authority over your children or whatever, that was for a time or whatever. I always tell one of my brothers that he'd be talking about the children or whatever. I said, well, you know, you're talking about 40 or 50-year-old people that we in our 60s and 70s, our children are in their 30s and 40s. Now, my baby boy is 34, something like that. So they're actually not children. They're grown men and women with lives, but we're still trying to micromanage their lives. And us, into our sight, they're still our children, and God has given us those children to raise for a time, but we have to learn to let them go. The relationship is, and that I try to have with my sons and daughters, that y'all are young men and women now, and I try to give you that respect and give you that position, and hopefully you give it to me. I'm not prying into your business or micromanaging. But along with those decisions, it's just like with God, as we grow in God and God allows us to do certain things, along with those decisions and consequences, if you're not using my expertise of my parenthood as advisor or counselor or whatever, the consequences that you engender are real. The things that you go through, the judgments are real. And sometimes people, it hinders our lives. It hinders our lives helping other people, our children or something. It's the ties that bind, that you bailing people out of trouble or trying to help other people, and you not being glorified in God's eyesight to other people or whatever, you actually look like a clown or something. You actually look like you have a problem. It's a weight of sin because You trying to bail your children out, or your friends, or somebody that God's trying to teach a lesson to, and instead of allowing God to work, that person has become a weight or a sin in your life and in the actions that's going, and we don't realize we have to let it go. We have to let those judgments fall in life. You know, my son gets married in March or whatever, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people realize it says a man and a woman become one and they cleave together. Well, when he gets married, his daughter's problems are no longer his daughter's problems. Those are the husband's problems. Right? You know, a lot of husbands that don't amen me if you don't realize what I'm saying and going on now. See, because we're not responsible for our children when they get grown. We can help them a little bit or whatever. But now what we're doing is we're blocking God from... are we hindering what God has trying to bring them to a judgmental point of the decisions and things that they're trying to make, and we cushioning the blows? I was watching a thing yesterday, and my wife said, well, this guy don't care anything about his father or whatever, respecting his father. It was a state trooper that had been punished 3 or 4 different times for abuse of power or whatever, and his father had gotten him the job. And his father was somebody within the state troopers organization. But they had suspended him this time. He should have never made it through training or whatever. But not that he disrespected his father or whatever. His father caused that, because more than less likely his father had been getting him out of jam his whole life and standing in for him or whatever. And sometime every tub has to stand on his own bottom. If your child's going to fall, they're going to have to learn to fall. That's the parents that your children never able to learn to walk, because you're scared of them falling when they're trying to get up to walk. Let them fall sometime. That's what learning to walk is. The child has to fall a couple of times. And God tells us a good man what? Falls several times, but yet he gets back up. But if we helping them up and standing, and you know, I could, you know, you hate to think about death a lot of times, but I have no fear of death or whatever, because, you know, I all of my children would be able to stand on their own, which they're doing now. They help me more than I help them. It's something when grown men and women depending on their parents to get them around, to take them to work and do all these things for them. What you have done, you have retarded that child's growth. And that's what they're doing in the church, and that's what the people are doing it with this impeachment proceedings. This guy's father had messed him up by every time he get in a jam, he loan him money, or he get him out of trouble or whatever. And this nation did the same thing. Each time he lie or do something wrong or whatever, they allow it to go and they look over it or whatever. And each time the crime or the offense have come just that much worse. Because without us having the consequences of sin. And see, these people here, they have been going through this. They've been going through things. If y'all hadn't been through anything and reaped or win, you wouldn't know what salvation and having real peace and joy is. But see, that's where we mess our children up. We don't allow them to reap the wind sometimes. We don't allow our friends or other people in churches for those things to fall up on their own shoulders. So they never learn to carry their burdens. And so as the judgment of God falls, it falls upon them in the church and those long-witted. That's why when he calls us out of Babylon, he says, come ye out unless you be partakers of their sin. You could be partakers of another man's sin. It says, like as a woman, verse 17, with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, as in pain, and cried out in her pains, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have learned, we have been in pain, we have as it were brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverances in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live again. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter into thy bedchamber, and shut thine doors. After a while, some of the church that's a conquering, a victorious church, sometime they go forth showing the peace and joy they have in life. God starts to reward some of us toward our older age. Sometime God starts to show us and puts us as a signet ring and showing us. But if we don't allow those things to happen, allow God, or we're not getting strengthened in our lives, I can't say this, you have to feel the revelation God has to this, why I say, in praying and talking, you can't even understand scripture yourself because God won't show it to you because you keep giving it away to other people. You keep giving that which is holy unto the dogs. In other words, some people die in poverty. Some people die in churches without ever rising to a pinnacle of being because why? The weights and sins that beset them from running the race. Sometimes you have to let your brothers and sisters go. Those are your enemies. Sometimes your spouses and your people are enemies. Stop trying to hold on. Stop being afraid to lose your life. Stop being afraid to lose people. Have faith in God and walk the way He's telling you to walk. You have to take these challenges from God and know when to let some people or some things go. Know when to cut them off. It's like dragging a dead body around with you. It says, therefore also we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which we earnestly or easily ensnares us, and let us run this race with endurance that is set before us. You ever have some Christians, you say, well, they'll always, it's like a movie, there'll never be an A-rated movie. You know, you watch a lot of the Mission Impossible, a lot of the movies on television, and they really high-class movies, they're really good movies. But then on some stations you have what they call, what, a D-rated, a B, a C, a D movie. In other words, the writing isn't there, the acting is there, the people are in a ministerial class. They'll never rise up to the challenge. They're always being befuddled. See, because as you get older, shouldn't you have peace and joy in your life? God has given these people peace and joy, and they've learned how to enjoy. They had entered into His rest. That means you don't let other people take your peace of joy that God had given you away from you. Now this call for being wise and walking in the Word of God, because you have to, in doing that, you have to do it in the way of Christ. You able to have to be, says Paul, tells us, he says, you have to put aside anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds. All of this, what you used to be in your life. See, because it's a lot of people been a punching bag all their lives. It's been a lot of people equivocating and making excuses and being naive. And God might want you to be overcoming, to stand up. That's why it's different qualifications for different people within the churches. And that's why Paul said it's better for some men not to even be married. And that's why it says a man can't rule his own house, he shouldn't rule the house of God. That's why you had, if you see the strong women in the Old Testament and those, they have a few in the New Testament, but they were godly women. That's what makes a woman strong, is being a godly woman and not a Jezebel, because you could have a wife that's strong in ambition, but she's the spawn of Satan. If you see it, the Bible is full of those type women. But if you notice that the virtuous woman in Proverbs, that's a businesswoman and handle all these other things, her husband glorifies her in the gate and speaks well of her. But you know, it's some women that is like a nail through a man's head or whatever. He can't get no peace, and there's no peace in his home because He's not allowing God to lead and guide him. Only God can put a woman in her place and keep the man in place as the head. But without him being the head, 9 times out of 10, the home is going to be in a disarray because the woman is leading the home. So that there has to be pruning or cutting off. In the book of Ephesians 4:22, he admonishes us again, Paul says, to slough off the old man according to the deceitful lust thing. In other words, have Christianity changed you any? I got several articles that I read, and I don't want to give y'all a lot of printings. I'm going to slow down. I'm almost stop giving y'all stuff to read or whatever, because something's been stirring me in my soul or in my spirit that this just not hitting home sometimes, because we need to see some stronger spiritual growth. Don't you like to see fruit coming on your trees? To bearing fruit. And if it's not bearing fruit and is continually being pruned, after a while, we're going to think that that tree is not able. It's going to be like the fig tree. He cursed the tree after so many certain years of non-spiritual growth. Then it comes on the heel of me being teaching patience and waiting on the Lord or whatever. But we have to see that God says, is the right hand offend thee, if the left eye offend thee, whack it off or whatever. There are parts of the church, and like I said, I just don't know what you're reading and studying or whatever, and there's a good bit online, there's a good bit in the media and everything to study. The church is one of the worst things that's going on right now, because the church have apostatized. And the reason for that, that's why he said in the book of Malachi, he was going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the sons' hearts back to the fathers or whatever, because really, as do women, do actually women think that, are men more womanly nowadays or feminine to y'all? Do y'all realize that? That's what the fall of America is about, that men are not being men, they're not being leaders. And when that happens, women begin to lead. If it wasn't for Pelosi leading this thing, they'd have really got, this guy would have got all scot-free. That's why the elected leaders, and that's why God says, women will be your leaders. Because when men fail to stand where they should stand, when the fathers are not standing as fathers, and the older men are not able to teach the young people, and they say this is going, if you just read it, evangelicals, the evangelistic church, the ecumenical church, all this have gone wrong in the last 12 to 15 years. It's the church. It's the leadership. When boys and things and people see their fathers being lack of being men, they seeing their mothers doing things that this is not right. This is not the womanly way to be. That's why he says in Revelation he was going to cast Jezebel into a bed, because society has gone awry. And we're talking basically in the United States of America. That's why the separation, and I say it's going to get greater in this nation. The other nations you're seeing, they're rising up and they're becoming stronger. But what happens is God has to have pruning in the church. And he talks about cowardice and being a coward and no cowards entering into the kingdom of heaven, because sometimes before the men or the women can be all they have to, the men would have to be men. And if they're not the head of their families, if they're not the heads and everything, there's a militant church that's arising, and that was right for Donald Trump to rise up. And that's why mostly they was talking about the white evangelical churches and the mega churches and everything. That the reason it was right for that, and you see now that the people have politicized the church, and that the people are hiding behind the scriptures in the church or whatever, but they don't even understand the scriptures. They don't understand the scriptures because God's judging the earth right now. There's judgments going on. But since the church has closed its eyes and we're not walking the way God wants us to walk, he's ending up purging some of us. Let me see, how can I put this? There's too few that's carrying the burden, and the church looks like the church is non-effective. The church is non-effect in the world. Because that's why the young people are not joining the true churches. I'm not talking about all these mega churches and everything where everything goes. That's the problem. It's too many men that's condoning, allowing that to go, and true holiness, true biblical holiness is not there. It's not there. And that's why God's calling that the pastors in the churches and everything, that's why judgment starts at the churches. And we will see Christians falling out. We will see so-called people that's supposed to be people of God, the pruning holding back because you will allow these things to come upon the church because the church has fallen away from God. This millennial joy and everything, there will be a greater part of that. It's going to be a minor church. It's going to be a minor church that comes forth because, how can I say this? Within a tree, a forest, anything, a lot of people try to protect the forest and everything. But it needs pruning out. It has to be pruned out. You have to get the weak ones out. You have to disciple them out. You remember I said if your left hand offends you, cut it off or whatever? The weak men or the fearful men, as Gideon went down, he started off with 32,000 people, but he only ended up with 300 people. Because those people sentimentalizing. In other words, just with the child, as you spare the branches, I don't know if her father's in her home or not or whatever. But like I said, if I did those things in church, I would suffer a severe beating. But it goes all the way up the ladder. If they don't censure this president, if they, which they probably won't impeach him, but at least the women and some of the people tried to do right, the right thing. Well, there's no consequences from him leading a sedition or insurrection publicly as he's done. It's going to suffer worldwide implications. Josh Hawley and Rand Paul and the rest of them, this will be tried again. That's why what God does. He nips sin off in the bud. There will be no cowardly men in the kingdom of heaven. That's why our confidence and trust is in God, that you don't make those kind of alliances. You don't make that kind of sentimentality. A lot of people say, well, didn't God say forgive and forget or whatever? But he also gave us judgment. He also gave the church certain disciplines. That's why Paul said, put the one fella out or whatever. You have one, as they say, one bad apple or ruin the whole bunch. Now, what we have here in America is a society gone bad, and men's going to have to answer for this, just like Adam had to answer for what went on in his home. That's why with the pastor in the church, the preachers and the elders in the church, they going to have to answer for these things. And that's why we see a lot of Christians with this sentimentality toward others and a tolerant behavior in everything goes in the church. Fornication goes in. How many women that are not married in the church are living with other men and other women and men with men or whatever, and the church is sitting there silent about it? Right now, the reason so many young children is being reared without parents in the home or whatever, the wife has a better job or has more money or something than the husband or whatever, or the husband just simply afraid of her. He's not standing where he should stand. If she's a woman of God, even though she has money and resources, she would still be in the role that God placed her in. If a man stands where God wants him to, if he's trying to please God, everything falls in behind him because it's the power of God's doing it. But if he's trying to physically do that, in other words, if he don't understand or he don't know God, he's camouflaging. And you know, that's what I said. The problem is so many men are in the church today that don't know God. They don't know Jesus. And so without that power to bring their children or their wives or homes into submission, it is the power of God that removes, loosen the ties that burn. It's through his truth. So it has to be pruned. The home has to be purged. He keep telling you, before we can see this regeneration, before we could see this church take off like we should, the enemies in our homes has to be put at peace. There has to be put at joy. And he tells us we have to first get our homes right. We have to first get our churches right. We have to first get our nation straight now. A lot of us carry around grudges and hatred toward other ethnic groups or things that occurred years ago. But we're listening at preachers and people teaching nowadays that's teaching a silver spoon gospel or something where it's apologetic almost. It's apologetics, naivety. If the divorce rate has to go up, if the separation rate has to go up, estrangement rate has to go up, that's what the Bible is saying. You have to stand for God. If you lose your life, if you lose your spouse, if you lose your children, if you lose your relatives, that's part of the pruning that has to take place. God has to come first, and you have to start walking after God no matter what the cost. No matter what the laws. Stop going around here being a pauper, eating out of the swine's trough and eating leftovers when you could be eating at the top of... Jesus was at the top of the level. You didn't see Jesus. How can I say this? He wasn't married though, but he was married to the church. But you didn't see Jesus backing down to anyone or anything. See, sometimes I was telling you about long suffering and peace, but there are some places where you draw the line. Because, like I said, if you love your children, you love your spouse or your relatives or anybody too much and let them keep getting off with anything or everything, it's going to become a worse problem or whatever because you ain't doing what the Bible says. And it's too many of us amening in church and saying and going to church. How can 80 to 70% of America be evangelical and following somebody such as the president we had and it be a biblical society? And that's what all of the magazines and the media are printing. There's too many wolves in the churches. There's too much silence in the church. How in the world can we sit in the world that's able to read a Bible? The Chinese are standing up. The Russians, everybody looking at this. That this is a hypocritical nation. And don't think that the true men are going along with this. That's why a lot of men don't associate with other men or whatever, because God tells us to disassociate ourselves with them. And that's why Jesus told his apostles, he said, are you going away too? He told them the truth. Now, if you can't handle the truth, if me and my spouse can't get along in the truth, the Bible tells us, let the unbeliever leave. Doesn't it? If they can't follow the rules of your household, if they can't stand to see God blessing you, you walk in those blessings of that anointing God had given you and that glory God had given you, but don't give God's glory to another. Amen. And that's what most of us are doing. we're throwing away. We have to come forward to Jesus Christ and confess our faults. And we're seeing that the church is becoming weaker and weaker because they're scared to let go. My daughter, she came and she was talking to me. I was talking to her one day or whatever. You know, some people don't realize some friendships are not forged forever. That you have different friends in life and you go grow out of some friendships. That there's different relationships. And I read to you in the Bible about Paul and some of the other people. We don't know what happened with him and Demas. But he said Demas had forsaken him for this present world. But I don't see him covering for Demas, covering for Alexander the coppersmith, because you see Alexander was with him at one time. I don't know if it's the same Alexander or not. But some of the ones that do you the most harm or that you're doing the most harm to the word of God causes you to be like David. You remember David couldn't get warmth at the end of his life and the Lord had told him the sword would never depart from his house? It was the same weaknesses that 80% of the men suffer now. It was the problem of not being able to overcome a woman. He didn't overcome Bathsheba. And he says the sword would never depart from your house, David. It would never depart from his house. That's because David made decisions and things that caused the name of God to be blasphemed. Are we making decisions now? Because like I said, your life is an open book. How do the men or women view you on your job? How do they view you in your neighborhood? Because we are to abstain from appearances of evil. Do you know that your wives, friends have made judgments about you and what type of person you are? Do you know your husband's friends and his relatives? Oh, my mechanics, and he was working on my car yesterday. I was laughing at some of the things his wife was saying or whatever, because who you are, what you are, cannot be hidden. And a lot of people didn't attend this church, and that's the reason we're having such a problem, because of the lives of the ministers and people that attended this church. And people say, I won't go there because the hypocrite is there, the ministry there, the different people that are there. Your life is not hidden from anywhere. People can see everything that's going on in your life, and they're judging that. That's what we're talking about, the judgment of God. And that's what pulls it away. Now, if he was in the book of Revelation, when he says he was going to throw Jezebel and her children into a bed of fire. You know, some women, some men, their children and everything else going down with them. A lot of people hate to be, you know, to hear that or whatever. But did you know God took all of Job's children away? You know, some women aren't any good. Some men aren't any good. And their children are cursed children. They're just like them. But we stand up trying to prop that up. And we know to ourselves how they treat us. How they're treating their spouses. How they, whether they're godly or not. Those in the circle of the Republicans right now realize that that party is disbanding or whatever, because it's hypocritical. People can see, other people can see, and the judgment of the nations is falling. We don't take the severity of this, the seriousness of this, that you can't repent when you want to. You can't just find repentance. God has to turn you. He has to bring about repentance, because what has happened, your heart has been hardened, and now you live and love a lie. You partake of a lie. This nation loved lies. This nation loved the lies for 4 years, and that's what built up the resistance that started the sedition about voter fraud and everything. It's a great lie. And once Christianity sold out to that, once you sell your purity as a child of God, you can know all of the scriptures and things you want to or whatever. But the Billy Graham Association, Liberty College, and all those that has been tied to him, you seeing a false Christianity, an anti-God movement rise. And if you're cowardly, God says, tell the cowards to go on, because the church is going to place this battle in array. By preaching and teaching and walking in the way, they going to do as Cain did, you know, the way of Cain. And that is, your brothers and sisters going to rise up to kill you. If you don't kill them, they the one that's going to dispatch of you. Because you know how they feel about you. You try to hold it back or whatever, but you know that they're not any good. That you know that everything that they do, you can sit down and watch their lives, and you know in your heart that they're not children of God. They may be physical brothers and sisters of you, but you can tell that they're not your spiritual brothers or sisters, and you're more dedicated to the physical than you are to the spiritual. You're not born again. In Genesis 4, 1 through 5, it was well known the story of Cain and Abel. When man was born on the earth, he becomes a murderer. You just don't know how envious your brothers and sisters or your wife or husbands or your children. We are one another. That's human nature. Cain killed Abel after a quarrel over a sacrifice. And when he brought Cain, he asked Cain about it. Cain acted indifference to it. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, we can be so religiously indifferent toward one another. That's because we don't have the love of God in our heart. You know, if you struggle to get something, I would be glad to see you with that something, and I wouldn't try to pull you down. But it's people that see you with something, they're going to envy that, or they're going to try to get that away from you, and you will give it to them if you're not strong in God. He says, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Did you know what caused Eli's death was his sons? God had warned him what his sons was doing. And he didn't punish him or didn't do. In other words, this was a continual act that this had been going on a long time. Job continually offered up sacrifices for his sons and daughters. Job was given more sons and daughters, and I'm not saying that was the reason he took their lives. But notice Job didn't come apart. It might have hurted him to lose his sons and daughters, and he stated the fact that that did hurt him, but he wasn't interfering with the judgment of God, that he went along with that judgment and say, though he do all these things for him, yet he's going to serve God. That's why God told Aaron through Moses, he says, tell Aaron, don't act like he disagreed with what I did to his sons, Nadab and Abihu. See, he knew what those sons and daughters did. It's a lot of men and women knowing that their sons are out there whoremongering with other women and everything, and they cover for their children, or they don't distance themselves from their sons. It's a lot of women out there playing the harlot with different men and not living the right way, and the mothers know this. The family know. I get tired of watching TV about this good boy, this good girl out there, 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and this didn't happen, and they was turning their lives around or whatever. You know what they was doing. You know the lives that they're living. You know the things that they're doing. And you participating in it by helping them and going along with this instead of distancing yourself and telling them and separating from it. And Cain couldn't overcome his sin, but he was envious of Abel, and he rose up and slew Abel. Some men are scared to stand up because their wives will pull up. And, you know, it ain't easy for Ahab to go against Jezebel. It's not easy to do. But there are some men, you rise up against them, and that woman know how that husband is or whatever in that situation. But you should be looking to God. That's why I say, a lot of times you should be praying to God and asking God about that problem, because only God can solve those problems. But it's so many women go down there and don't press charges against them, or don't say this away. There's devices and there's ways. You don't have to stay in these marriages and things. God says is the unbeliever, if the believer decides, you have to know when to let go. Some situation where he's going to change or whatever. Well, any of the habits and things I have now, if God hadn't changed them or whatever, after 40 years, I might not be changing them. Huh? You marry a person, say, and you go change that person. You should marry a person, and when you marry that person, you should be looking unto God to perfect your life. You can't change. You can pray about someone else's life. I pray about my children all the time. I pray for the people in this church all the time or whatever. But we have to learn to let go sometimes. There are members that have left here. Things happen or whatever. But I understand or see when God brings certain judgments and things to pass. I called my son yesterday as I was getting my car fixed. They was talking about one of the guys that had fixed my transmission in my truck. And I had referred him to my son to work on my son's truck. He worked on my son's truck and my son had paid him $1,800 to fix a transmission. After a few weeks, and I was talking about it with my brother yesterday while I was doing, and we were saying, well, that didn't sound right. After he fixed it, the car ran for about a month or so, but then it broke down, and he made the excuse why that he didn't repair it right or what was wrong or whatever. And I said, well, I gave you as a reference, and you did this. That's a cause, you know, my son to look at me this way. I said, well, Dad, you just told me he's going to do this or whatever. I prayed to God about this. I prayed to God for over a couple of months about it. But I had to let it go, and I'm glad I let it go. I'm glad I let it go. I didn't know this happened till yesterday. But they said that the guy had died 2 or 3 years ago. And when I called my son as soon as I heard about it, and he said, you said it was 2 or 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years? I said, yeah. He said, well, that would have been right after he had fixed my truck or whatever. And I'm not saying it has any relationship to that. But did I cry? Did I want to go to his funeral or whatever? No, and I didn't rejoice because he was dead or whatever. But there is a God, and you can do people wrong or whatever, and they tell you about people dying, and you're not missing those that have worked wickedly. Now, this was, to me, now, he was a good mechanic. He fixed my truck the correct way. But he didn't know what he was doing working on my son's truck. I called the transmission place. This was an error from the manufacturing that's not an easy transmission to rebuild, and they had a recall because there's certain parts that they learned that has to go in there if you're rebuilding it or whatever. But God has to move the wicked because that was wicked what he did to my son. That was wicked. I don't feel a loss. Now, that's not saying he won't be saved. That's punishment of consequences, and it may not even have any relationship. It may not be punishment of consequence. But you have to, as you pray to God and leave your problems and things with God, is it things people do to you or whatever? Are you taking them to God and asking God or telling God what has happened and you leaving judgment in God's hands? But what happens, we're not praying those prayers and we're not looking for God to answer those prayers. We would rather stay in a bad relationship and keep saying these are things happening. But when I pray to God and when I tell God about something, you know, it makes me feel better when it looks like God is busy doing things. When things are getting accomplished. That's why I say, it's not lights. He's going to condemn sin in the flesh. Don't come in the church praying with God. Don't play with God's people against God and doing these things, not realizing God had came down here, his son, and died for us. This is a very serious matter. When you in the church and making these statements, it's supposed to be living this way, and you praying for someone, or you every word you have to give account of, that person that you're mistreating or whatever. So that's why you don't carry around grudges and bitterness and everything. And like I say, I didn't even say nothing when they was talking about it. When they said that, I say, yeah, well, he did fix my truck, right? Gary could work on old school. But it was time for him to let go. and say he couldn't work on the newer models. He couldn't work on the newer stuff. Some things we hold on to. But Minister Miller heard me praying a prayer at that altar, and he said, "Why are you praying?" Well, I was much younger then, but it was prayers of imprecations as to what David was saying. See, because a lot of times we go to pray to God about what's people doing us or hurting our feelings or what's going on, and it may be something close to us, but then when it happens or something happens to them, that's why I say be careful what you ask for. Because when God acts and God looks down on his child and decides to give his child relief. A couple of weeks ago, that woman was tired of that guy beating on her, doing this or whatever. It was justifiable homicide. They let it go. See, sometimes we have to realize life is real. People are praying real prayers, and there's a real God that judgment is coming in the earth. And now you can see it happen as it's happening. The guy that smote Jeremiah when Jeremiah was talking and when Michael was talking, he said, "Now, when God calls this back to you in a few days, you can realize why he did it." He smote the prophet of God, and God caused death upon him. One of them, God turns a man's wife into a harlot or whatever. See, there's a God that's going to take vengeance. So when people do you things or things not going on right, are you some little tolerant thing that whatever, and you are not a good example that, no, I'm going to go tell my daddy. I'm going to tell my father, he says, when you pray our Father. And you, in all seriousness, and you expect an answer, you expect your father to do something. See, we used to pray in prayers and you want people to apologize and these things go on and somebody get hurt or the whole your life then pass by and you hadn't accomplished nothing. You're not going on to greater things or whatever. That's why he asked Peter, say, "How would you like to have what you say, Peter?" We're not serious in religion. And we didn't got to the point where people coming in church with this line. You're bringing your whore money into the church. You're bringing yourselves into the church. You can sit right at God's table and go right out there and live all kinds of life and then come back into God and without even respecting him. And you're not going to do what God says do. This is a nation, they talk with their mouths, but their heart is not with God. And we need to start learning to let go of that. Preach God's word, walk in God's word, and speak in God's word. There are a lot of them that are the way of Cain. We can interpret that way. He was idolatrous, he was murderous, and he was self-centered. And there's a broad way to destruction, and many of us are going in thereat. Seducing spirits, spirits of devils. If there's not a false prophet out there, if there's not false teachers out there, well, then Jesus Christ was wrong. But if there are, we'd better be aware, and we'd better start standing where God tells us to stand. But in your spiritual life, in your life, have things changed in the last 10 years? Are you in that same boat you were 10 years ago? You don't feel any strength. You're still not getting respected where you should be respected at. And the same old things going on. But God says, how would you like you have what you pray for? If you walk in his way. Because he says, listen at this. He says, all of our lives we lived a certain way. We brought forth the wind. We didn't bring anything out of life. Let me see, can I find this in the Living? I was reading it this afternoon, the Living Version, it says, those we served before are dead and gone. Never again will they return. You attack them and destroy them, and they are long forgotten. O Lord God, others have ruled us, but we worship you alone. We praise you, O Lord. You have made our nation great. You have extended our borders. Now, he's talking about when he says, open the gates and let the righteous nation go on. He's not talking about the United States of America. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the New Jerusalem, God's people. That's all nations. It's not geographical. It's worldwide. In other words, the Christians are expanding. God's people see God working. Now, that's what I see in this millennium. That's what gave them peace and joy because they see God they see God removing their enemies or working judgment, and this promise coming true, that sixth verse that says, the poor and oppressed trample it underfoot. In other words, those people in poverty, the poor people, the ones in the community, you're starting to defeat people. You're starting to, that person that was against you, that oppressor and everything, God started giving you personal victory. That's why I say all of us are going to have these personal victories. You're going to start seeing not somebody else hitherto or whatever. You're going to see this is a person to God, that he's wiping out your enemies and foes. You're not praying for me to have peace. You're praying for your peace. You pray for your peace of mind, your joy. And then God should be giving you a peace and joy that nobody can take away. Now, you can be going out there giving it to other people and letting other people have it. But he says, but for those who are righteous, the path is not steep and rough. It's going to be easier for you. It's going to start getting easier. Now, let me tell you, there's still going to be things going on where you will have to be stronger and stronger. But faith makes that make you strong and strong in those things. He says, Lord, you will grant us peace, for all we have accomplished is really from you. We are like a woman about to give birth, writhing and crying out in pain when we are in your presence, Lord. We too writhe in agony, but nothing comes of our suffering. We have done nothing to rescue the world. No one has been born to populate the earth. Yet we have this assurance. Those who belong to God will live, and their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. That's the first resurrection. That's what I'm saying. There are those that God is rising to prominent places in life. And I believe in the young man's, I think his name was David, that made that promise about this church being enlarged to such an extent. I'm still remembering that promise, that that was from God, that he had sent him to speak those things. Now, how many of us be attached to that? I know not. But that's what I say. We have to have that strength. We know our lives. It may be a lot of our family, a lot of different things that may not come along with us. But we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to build. I was thinking that one day I would be preaching and say, I have all my brothers sitting in the church, but two of them was the first to go. You remember Jerry, my other brother, and he passed away or whatever, but my younger brother had already passed or whatever. But we never know what God has in the end, but we know he's a good God, and we stand on his promise that he's going to rise us up higher, that he gives us hope and faith. But then again, you kind of know of those that are around you that's kind of shaky. Do you know those in the churches that are kind of shaky and that you might not trust too much? You remember I preached and teached on trustworthiness? See, because you remember I told you faith was objective and subjective also? Because a lot of times with nepotism and things, people in your family or certain people, oh, you don't trust me, you don't believe me. What did I tell you? Faith as trust, you remember? It's not that I don't have faith in you. It's that you're not trustworthy. And you remember I told you about trustworthiness, reputation. And reputation is something that's built upon. And your reputation is that you can't be trusted. You know, I would be fooled to trust somebody, to have faith in somebody. You know, I was reading in something today about a husband and wife. Well, trust has to be built back up once it's torn down. If that person don't trust you no more, it may take a while, but there's no one or two tests they pass. Trust requires a relationship. And that's the last two sermons I preached when I teach was about a relationship. And that's why Jesus Christ says, though they fed the needy and cast out devils in his name, he never knew them, because they didn't have a relationship. They didn't have a relationship. He had a relationship with his disciples, but not with Judas Iscariot. And most people, a lot of people in church, you don't know one another because you don't have a relationship with them. I see you in church, I see you here, or whatever, but I don't hear from you after church or whatever. I don't know your lives or know what's going on with you. And that's why the church is a community. Those people met daily. They knew their children. They knew how many of us was raised in small communities or something, and everybody just about knew people. And as coming up, my wife was talking about it one time with a guy at the drugstore. He knew all of Mary Frances' children, and they could come down there and get something on her bill or whatever, and she would pay the bill at the end of the month or whatever. Well, we had those in our neighborhood or whatever, the Raguzas or the Anconas or every little cone and everything. It has different nationalities and people that know families and people. But your reputation also could be a reputation is, that boy, that can't be trusted, though. That one out the family, this one, you know what I mean? That wasn't trustworthy. So we're going to have to learn of things to let go, but we're going to have to learn that the judgment of God is falling and that he's condemning sin in the flesh. And I have it down for Saturday to preach. That's why he says it's for judgment that he came into the world. It was for judgment that he came into the world. And if that's why he came, that's what we should be doing, is for judgment. Now what happened with judgment is that that's why Cain killed Abel, because Abel's good deeds showed up Cain's bad deeds. That's why Joseph's brother wanted to kill Joseph but sold him into slavery, because they say Joseph delivered an evil report. It's not that Joseph delivered an evil report. Joseph was right in truth and trustworthy, and he gave his father what was right. And that's what we should do before God. Speak that which is right and which is honest in his sight. That's why the Trump administration, everybody within that administration have told the truth, do the right thing by God. He punishes them severely to put the fear of man in them. But those people have the fear of God that stands for the truth. Do you have the fear of God to stand for the truth against your family, against those at work, against others? If you're not ashamed to own him, you'll see right there the judgments of God coming up on the people that are around or doing you harm. And see, and that's the thing about it. We think of something way out there in the future or whatever, and right here in the present, God can protect you, and he's working to give you those things that you desire, that you ask of him. So, I wanted to go toward the broad road of destruction and condemnation, but we're going to have to do it another time. But God's judging, and I hate to use your best life now or whatever, because it's not your best, not that it's your best life now. You can put your best foot forward and get the revelation, get the spiritual encouragement from God that you are doing the right thing, and he give and feed up on your spirit that you get stronger, that you're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and he gives you peace and joy in it. But you will have to develop a heart to see judgment go out throughout the earth. And it may fall close around us, it may fall right next to us, but he says, it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thee. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this night, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God. Help us that we lean not to our own understanding, but that we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, in you and the power of your might, Lord God. And that we lean not to our own understanding, Lord God.